VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And it's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. Thanks for tuning in to Crosstalk from the VCY American Network, as there is so much taking place. I literally have enough material here for 2-3 programs of news and information. We'll try and cover a number of issues that are going on to keep you informed. So many things are going by unreported in national media here today. And we thank you for tuning in so that you can be informed as to what's going on, so that you might be a better prayer warrior. You can be understanding of the times, so that you might be salt and have an impact upon those around you, as well as light, sharing the good news of the gospel. Folks, that is our only hope in such a time as this. I've got tons of news. We're going to delve right into it. And a lot is dealing here at the early part of the program with what's going on with these mandates, what's going on with the jabs and so forth that are taking place here across this country and around the world. We're going to begin with a story from LifeSiteNews.com. The Biden administration Monday told businesses that they should move forward with requiring workers to get inoculated against COVID-19, despite the fact that the federal government's jab mandate for businesses with 100 or more employees has been temporarily halted by a federal court that cited grave statutory and constitutional issues with the rule. The White House is saying, don't listen to the court, get the jab. On Monday, the White House Press Secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, she's Deputy Press Secretary, said that people should not wait for the courts to rule on the constitutionality of the mandate. Just get it. Just get it. She's been filling in for Jen Psaki, who, by the way, tested positive for the COVID, despite being fully vaccinated, added that businesses should continue to move forward and make sure that they're getting their workplace vaccinated. Do not wait to take action, she said, that will keep your workplace safe. It is important and critical to do, and waiting to get more people vaccinated will lead to more outbreaks and sicknesses. Folks, again, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals last Saturday put a temporary halt to the Biden mandate using OSHA as his beating stick to make that happen, his nightstick. Todd Starnes is reporting that dozens of Navy SEALs represented by First Liberty Institute have filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration this week, Tuesday, for refusing religious exemptions. The fact that the government has granted not a single religious exemption from the vaccine mandate shows that the Biden administration does not care about religious freedom. Instead, it appears to be an attempted ideological purge. Forcing a service member to choose between their faith and serving their country is abhorrent to the Constitution and America's values, said Mike Berry, the general counsel for First Liberty Institute. After all these elite warriors have done to defend our freedoms, the Navy is now threatening their careers, families, and finances. It's appalling, and it has to stop before any more harm is done to our national security. The New American is reporting, according to internal report from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, more than half of the Border Patrol personnel may be terminated for failure to get the COVID-19 shot. That would leave just 8,000 officers on duty. Per the document, 48% of the agents have not yet registered their vaccination status. Of the 52% who have done so, 10% have registered as unvaccinated. If the approximately 10,000 Border Patrol agents who have yet to register their vax status do not do so this week, they will be offered counseling, then suspension, then termination. From Yahoo News, a group of 10 states is taking the Biden administration to federal court over the rule. It's led by Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, Nebraska Attorney General Doug Peterson. They said vaccination requirements are matters that depend on local factors and conditions. Whatever might make sense in New York City, St. Louis, or Omaha could be decidedly counterproductive and harmful in rural communities like Memphis, Missouri, or McCook, Nebraska. Federalism allows states to tailor such matters in the best interest of their communities. The Daily Caller reporting national groups representing retail truckers and independent businesses have sued the White House. the American Trucking Association, the National Federation of Independent Business, and the National Retail Federation filed the lawsuits in the Fifth Circuit on Wednesday. This is not a case about the efficacy of the shot. It's a case about American businesses that do not want to face the immediate, irreparable harm of losing employees, including substantial and unrecoverable compliance costs and worsening already fragile supply chains and labor markets, the groups wrote in their court filings. LifeSiteNews.com tells us that thousands of intelligence officers are bucking pressure to get the experimental COVID-19 shot in spite of rapidly approaching injection mandate deadlines. Yeah, there's a good number in the CIA, FBI, and National Security Agency that have not gotten the shot. Also very interesting because the White House Deputy Secretary, Press Secretary, was asked this week about why not institute a ban on domestic travel for those who have not had the shot. Listen in to what transpired.
Thank you. The U.S. is now accepting fully vaccinated travelers from countries that were previously restricted during the pandemic. Given how rapidly the Delta variant spread here within the United States over the summer, why are there still no vaccine or testing requirements for domestic travel?
So, you know, we say this all the time. Everything's on the table. We just don't have any announcement to preview right now on this. So I don't have anything more to share on the domestic travel.
Okay, so it's on the table. We just don't have anything to share here at this time. I mean, that's from the White House. It's just going to be a matter of time, ladies and gentlemen, before that comes about. New York Post is reporting that Ford has become the first major U.S. automaker to announce a COVID-19 vaccine mandate for all of its staff, joining a slew of other major companies that have already done so. The automaker told its roughly 32,000 salaried employees about the mandate in a statewide note on Tuesday, giving workers until December 8th to be fully vaccinated. From LifeZet.com, Colorado Governor Jared Polis signed an executive order this week that allows hospitals, listen to this, allows hospitals to turn away those who are unvaccinated against COVID-19. Polis's order reportedly gives healthcare professionals the authority to prioritize crisis care under the direction of the state health department. Folks, this reminds me of that Thief in the Night and Distant Thunder, that the End Times Prophecy series, where people were denied getting hospitalization help for not having the mark of the beast. And now we have Jared Polis saying that hospitals can turn away those who are unvaccinated from treating them. LifeNews.com, nursing homes across the country are feeling the effects of the ongoing labor shortages, according to multiple reports. Nursing home jobs down 221,000, 14% since the start of COVID. And I would talk about the National Center for Assisted Living reporting 14,000 nursing homes in the U.S. I mean, they represent that many, but the staff shortages that are taking place all across the nation. The Daily Caller indicating that the Biden administration will likely rely on informants to enforce the shot mandates. OSHA has only about 1,850 inspectors, don't have enough, so they will be relying upon informants within businesses to report them. That's when OSHA will go in and inspect. LifeSiteNews.com, a 12-year-old boy in Germany dies 2 days after getting the Pfizer shot, his second dose. Jason from Cuxhaven in northwestern Germany died October 15th, suffered from a number of pre-existing health conditions. Health authorities in Germany are calling the death a tragic, isolated event. According to Bild, preliminary reports of the autopsy showed at the time of his death he was suffering from myocarditis, an inflammatory heart condition that can lead to a heart attack. From WPXI, Pennsylvania school mask mandate remains in place even after a judge ruled Wednesday that it is void and unenforceable. Governor Wolf's administration quickly filed an appeal to the Commonwealth Court Judge Christina Fisano Cannon's ruling, and that stopped the mandate from being overturned. Let's go to the Texas Tribune. A federal judge ruled Wednesday that Governor Abbott's executive order prohibiting mask mandates in schools violates the Americans with Disabilities Act, freeing local officials to again create their own rules for mask mandates. The judge said the governor's order impedes children with disabilities from the benefits of public schools program services and activities to which they are entitled. Let's go back to Todd Starnes here today in this news roundup. A school board in Richmond, Virginia has decided not to discipline staff members who refused to get the jab. This after at least 29 teachers resigned this week over the policy. It was a 6-3 decision Monday. A school board has now prevented their superintendent from withholding paychecks or terminating staffers that refused the shot if those individuals agreed to weekly testing. So the superintendent overridden by the school board. Yeah, pushback taking place. The Daily Caller, the White House announced Wednesday that roughly 900,000 children between the ages of 5 to 11 will receive their first COVID-19 shot in the initial week that the age group becomes eligible for the vaccine. And from WND.com, following the CDC's approval of the Pfizer shot for young children, scientists and physicians at a summit in Florida warned against a rush to vaccinate a population with very little chance of severe infection from the coronavirus. The Florida Summit on COVID in Ocala on Saturday, addressed the big questions. Do children, young children, need vaccination against COVID? Are the vaccinations safe? Are unvaccinated children a threat to adults? On each question, the physicians and researchers have challenged the federal government's conclusions, pointing to studies and to data. Dr. Robert Malone, an inventor of the mRNA technology employed by the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, inoculating 28 million children 5 to 11 years old, he said, could lead to 1,000 or more excessive deaths, while the risk from COVID-19 for healthy children is about zero and appears to be lower than the seasonal flu, that is. Paul Alexander, a clinical epidemiologist and former senior advisor in pandemic policy in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, said we've been fed a lot of misleading information. Children don't get severely ill. Children don't die from this infection. Dr. Richard Urso, a Texas ophthalmologist in Sweden, where schools were kept open, there was not a single death of a child from COVID. And they gave their big warning to parents on this matter. And The pushing of young children to get the shot is in full swing. On Twitter, the Muppet character Big Bird declared Saturday, "I got the COVID-19 vaccine today. My wing is feeling a little sore, but I'll give my body an extra protective boost that keeps me and others healthy." LifeSiteNews.com also reporting on this very issue that Elmo, Oscar, Big Bird used their Twitter feeds this past weekend to support Pfizer's recently FDA-approved experimental COVID jab for children ages 5 to 12. The characters released their tweets in tandem with Sesame Street's The ABCs of COVID Vaccines, a CNN Sesame Street town hall for families. You know what they're doing in New York City? Offering $100 to kids, $100 incentive to encourage young children to get the shot. In a press conference last week, New York's mayor, Bill de Blasio, discussed the $100 payouts to be awarded to children who get the shot, saying, quote, "We really want kids to take advantage, families to take advantage of that." Meanwhile, a pharmacy in Loudoun County, Virginia, administered the wrong COVID-19 vaccine to children 5 to 11 years old, according to state officials. They believe about 112 children were given the vaccine formulated for those 12 years and older November 3rd and 4th. The mother of one of the children said, "I had this pit in my stomach. Like, what did they just do to my daughter?" We'll be back with more news and information after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, Creation Seminar speaker at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how many different types of animals did Noah take on board the ark?
Chris, detractors from the biblical flood story say that there were way too many animals to have fit on board the ark. But not so. Let's look carefully. First off, we need to recognize that most animals live in the ocean and would not have to be on board the ark. They would survive, at least in representative numbers, outside the ark. By the way, Noah didn't even have to take two of every species. The Bible says two of every kind, probably a broader category which might include a number of species, like the dog kind. Altogether, I suspect that there were probably less than 20,000 animals on board the ark. This was difficult for Noah, but not impossible. At least that's the way I see it from a Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Friends, I want you to stay tuned. I've got just a few more stories dealing with the shot here, and I want you to hear what Bill Gates had to say recently about the effectiveness of the shot. You don't want to miss what Bill Gates had to say. Let's go to LifeSiteNews.com. Recently there was a story about a 17-year-old hockey player in Ontario who got the COVID jab because he would otherwise be denied entry into the skating arena without it. Well, his whole life now in front of him. He died just 2 weeks after receiving that. And that appears to be only the tip of the iceberg, the report. In the last few weeks, there have been dozens of similar cases of young, healthy, super healthy athletes becoming seriously harmed, even dying, ending their athletic dreams. They said this should be huge news everywhere, but it's not being reported for what it is. Individual reports of the deaths and permanent disabilities of young football, rugby, cricket, hockey players. There's no mainstream media outlet that's pointing these out, putting them all together and calling it a huge problem. Dr. Michael Yeadon has had enough. He's making a connection of these. He's the former vice president of Pfizer. He called out the COVID jabs for their danger early on and warned of their deadly potential. And now the dire predictions are coming true. I wish I could go through case by case. I've got a full page of names and ages, those who are playing, whether it be football, whether it be a referee taken off the court, or collapses that are taking place by athletes after receiving the jab, a cyclist, and many others. He said, I surmise that all these sports people are being injured and killed by the COVID-19 vaccines. That's Dr. Yeadon. Young people are not at risk from this virus and also are poor at passing it on. There's therefore no reason why these people have been vaccinated, and it's pressure from their clubs and leagues that's made them comply. By the way, health authorities in France and Germany recommended against the Moderna vax for those under 30, citing the risk of heart inflammation, reports the Daily Caller. And the CDC admitted it had no record of an unvaccinated person spreading COVID after recovering from COVID in response to an attorney's FOIA request. Interesting information, from the CDC. And this story just came out today on the Gateway Pundit. The headline caught our attention. Matter of fact, it was first brought to us by one of our listeners. Scientists are attempting to grow COVID vaccine-filled spinach, lettuce, edible plants to replace COVID injections. Millions of people who have refused to get the experimental mRNA vax may soon be forced to consume the gene therapy in their food. Researchers at the University of California, now folks, don't take me, it's not in the stores at this time. They're doing research. Researchers at the University of California were awarded a $500,000 grant from the National Science Foundation developing technology that infuses experimental mRNA COVID-19 vaccines into spinach, lettuce, and other edible plants. The team of nanobiotechnology experts is currently working on successfully delivering DNA-containing mRNA BioNTech technology into a chloroplast, the part of the plants that instruct its cells' DNA to replicate the vaccine material. Researchers are tasked then with demonstrating that generally modified plants can produce enough mRNA to replace COVID jabs and infuse the plants with the right dosage requirement to eat to replace the vaccines. Experimental mRNA vaccines will be edible, an associate professor in UCR's Department of Botany and Plant Sciences, who's leading the research, explained in a press release. Ideally, a single plant would produce enough mRNA to vaccinate a single person. He said, we are testing this approach with spinach and lettuce and have long-term goals of people growing it in their own gardens. Farmers could also eventually grow entire fields of it. Now, let's get to Bill Gates. Because Bill Gates seems to have exposed what is happening here with the shots. Matter of fact, these shots, he says, only are slightly working. Listen to Bill Gates here.
Economic damage, the deaths, it's been completely horrific. And I would expect that will lead the R&D budgets to be focused on things we didn't have today. You know, we didn't have vaccines that block transmission. We got vaccines that help you with your health, but they only slightly reduce the transmissions. We need a new way of doing the vaccine.
Yeah, we don't have vaccines that block the transmission of it. Isn't that interesting? Only slightly work. Fox News tells us that California's COVID rate, twice that of Florida's now, despite the mask mandates in California. California has mask mandates and a higher vaccination rate than Florida, but their COVID rate is now twice that of Florida. Fox Business reporting, Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis has called state lawmakers to a special session next week to consider proposals pushing back against COVID-19 vaccine mandates for workers. One option being weighed is to withdraw from OSHA's oversight in the state. Western Journal telling us shortly before the vote on the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, House Minority Whip Steve Scalise of Louisiana warned colleagues about several of the most egregious initiatives in this legislation. He held up a bill that lawmakers had received just the night before and reminded them that they were told that Americans earning under $400,000 would not be paying one extra dime. He breaks the promise right here, Scully said, and the bill attacks, according to the American Gas Association, will increase household electricity rates by 30%. And by the way, that's low-income families that will be paying the tax the hardest. He told colleagues millions of additional people will get amnesty in this bill, and it comes at a time when President Biden's negotiating initially. He said he wasn't, and then the White House had to go back up and say that the Justice Department is negotiating $500,000 checks to people who came across our border illegally, and they're going to give amnesty to millions more people. Estimates are 7 million more people. Can you imagine the flood that will come when they hear that you can get $500,000 a person if President Biden gets his way, he asked. Now he addressed the additional 87,000 IRS agents. They call this infrastructure. They call it equity. Whatever they want to call it, it's an army of IRS agents that are going to comb through your bank account. Why? Because they've got to generate hundreds of billions of dollars to spend on more inflation-induced spending. He went on to talk about other issues in that bill as well. Well, it happened this week where the New Jersey Senate President, Steve Sweeney, conceded Wednesday to the Republican candidate and commercial truck driver Edward Durr, reports Fox News. Edward Durr only spent $153 on the primary election. We understand some of the reports came out less than $10,000 overall. Newsmax.com, the number of border crossers and illegal migrants being released into the country under the Department of Homeland Security is being hidden from Congress and the public, according to Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. He told Breitbart News that Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas has given the senator no response to the October 19th request for the number of people who entered the country illegally and were repositioned in the U.S. under President Joe Biden. Remember the program we did on the J6 prisoners? Two Republican members of Congress got in to visit defendants jailed in the nation's capital on charges in the January 6 riot at the Capitol, confirming a federal judge's determination that conditions were beyond belief. Louis Gohmert of Texas, Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia joined a pre-scheduled tour of the D.C. jail by members of the D.C. Council. But earlier in the day, they went to the mayor and delivered a letter demanding access to the Patriot wing of the jail, arguing that it was their duty as Congress members to oversee how the city spends taxpayer dollars. And Green recounted the visit, saying, "I've never seen human suffering like I witnessed last night." The Georgia lawmaker said that when she walked into the Patriot wing of the jail, she was greeted by men with overwhelming cheers who rushed out to meet me with tears streaming down their faces, describing them as forgotten and hopeless. It was like walking into a prison of war camp, a prisoner of war camp, folks, and seeing men whose eyes can't believe someone had made it in to see them. They are suffering greatly, virtually no medical care, very poor food quality, and being put through re-education, which most of them are rejecting. Green said she and her staff are writing a full report of her three-hour tour. I'm committed to ending this political war and seeing that our justice system is never used against Americans as a political weapon ever again. Well, inflation surging in October, surpassing a 31-year high, reports the National Review. Consumer Price Index increased 6.2% from a year ago. That's the highest since November of the year 1990. Crude oil prices spiked 12.3% for the month, 59.1% over the past year. Used vehicles rose 2.5% for the month, 26.4% for the year. Food prices jumped 0.9% for the month, 5.4% for the year. According to former Energy Secretary Rick Perry, says that the actions of President Joe Biden that shut down the pipeline in the U.S. while boosting them for Russia makes absolutely no sense, unless, of course, it's part of a plan to deal out some serious damage to the fossil fuel industry here at home. Is this a plan, Perry went on to ask Tuesday during an appearance, that the Biden administration is putting into place to bring America to its knees? Why else should this be happening? If you weren't doing it on purpose, and I would suggest you are doing it on purpose because they hate the fossil fuel industry. And it's hurting more than the fossil fuel industry. Perry, the governor of Texas, said Americans are feeling the squeeze with rising fuel prices. And folks, you've got to hear this clip. This is Jennifer Granholm. Just in the weeks that the Biden administration officials have essentially told Americans to get used to price increases, the Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm was on by the CNN, and during that interview, she was asked about bringing down, you know, producing more oil. And she laughed. She laughed. Listen to that exchange.
In Sturgis, Michigan, it is $2.89 a gallon. I guess that's better than in California. What is the Granholm plan to increase oil production in America?
Oh, my God. That is hilarious. Would that I had the magic wand on this. As you know, of course, oil is a global market. It is controlled by a cartel. That cartel is called OPEC, and they made a decision yesterday that they were not going to increase beyond what they were already planning.
Did you hear her laughter? If I had the power to do it, folks, we were energy independent. We were exporting oil. The Biden administration, here's another story from Western Journal, the Biden administration considering shutting down a vital pipeline that transports 540,000 barrels of oil a day into the U.S. from Western Canada. Michigan is in the sights now with this to shut this down. And, I mean, the White House Deputy Press Secretary said the reports are true, saying the Army Corps of Engineers is doing an environmental impact study on the Line 5 pipeline that runs through Michigan. And they laugh. They laugh at our oil shortage. They laugh at the high prices that people are paying. And we don't have any magic wand to do this. This is OPEC's issue. This is OPEC's fault. They're laughing. FoxNews.com says a Loudoun County School Board meeting erupted into shouting Tuesday night after parents confronted members of the school board after the parent group Fight for Schools filed more than 2,000 signatures to remove the board chair. Interesting story here as well. We understand that Virginia School Board has called for the removal of books with sexually explicit content from school libraries. Two board members is reportedly saying that we need to burn those books. Los Angeles Times tells us that faced with soaring D's and F's, schools are ditching the old ways of grading. They want instead to just prove that children are learning in the schools. They're moving from traditional point-driven grading systems to close these large academic gaps along racial, ethnic, and economic groups. And they're talked about the troubling D's and F's across the country. And institutional racism is all part of this. And instead, they are just wanting to keep students from being penalized, not for bad behavior or their work habits or missed deadlines, but to give students new opportunities in order to pass. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
VCY America is making available Ray Comfort's DVD that is causing evolutionists and atheists around the world to become unglued. Evolution versus God is a fast-moving 35-minute DVD in which Ray Comfort confronts evolutionists with a series of questions that leave them stumped and speechless about a belief system that lacks credible answers to the origins of the earth and mankind. you can obtain one DVD of Evolution vs. God for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25 by calling 1-800-729-9829. Evolution vs. God is shaking the foundation of evolutionary faith. That's one copy for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829 or on the web at vcyamerica.org.
I've got a lot of paper and stories before me here. I'm going to winnow it down to several more here. Just to keep you informed on critical issues. Crosstalk with a news roundup day here today. From MSN.com, school districts across the nation are temporarily closing or switching back to remote learning as school administrators struggle with empty classrooms, driverless buses, and understaffed cafeterias caused by widespread teacher exhaustion. COVID concerns and the Great Resignation. Michigan has in recent weeks seen at least 8 schools shut down or return to online learning because of staff shortages. We understand in part due to negative reactions from the COVID booster shots. Todd Starnes is reporting one Florida school grader is facing harsh consequences for saying no to wearing a mask in school. An 8-year-old student has been suspended for 36 days. Most likely will have to repeat the second grade for refusing to comply with the school's mask mandate. Todd Starnes also reported Boy Scouts of America, which allows girls, is now going even more to the left with a new diversity, equity, and inclusion requirement. A new merit badge developed by their Office of Diversity and Youth Development Office called the Citizenship in Society. It's going to be a requirement for Eagle Scout rank starting in July of 2022, they report. Adults who will be guiding scouts through the process reveals the radicalism of the ideologies. In the resources section of the official merit badge counselor guide, adults are encouraged to look at the white anti-racism living the legacy transcription of an interview diving into, guess what, critical race theory. No wonder why so many people across this nation are pulling their young people out of the Boy Scouts and the scouting program and going like to Trail Life USA. National Review reporting that the L.A. port situation is not improving. Where is this pledge to deal with the infrastructure issue? DHL releases service announcements every week so shippers and their network know what to expect at ports around the world. One of the recent announcements, the situation at the top West Coast port complex not improving at all. Ships waiting 13 to 22 days to catch a berth. Currently, there are 72 vessels waiting for a berthing spot at the time this was written. Both ports are seeing record volumes month after month as the ships are anchored or delayed multiple days. I find it very interesting because President Biden tried to explain the supply chain crisis. And according to the headline that is appearing from the Western Journal, his explanation goes horribly bad. Listen to how he explained why there's a supply chain crisis.
Why is the price of agricultural products, when I go to the store, why is it higher? What, like, for example, if we were all going out and having lunch together and I said, let's ask whoever's in the next table, no matter how, what restaurant we're in, have them explain the supply chain to us. Think they'd understand what we're talking about? They're smart people, but supply chain. Well, why is everything backed up? Well, it's backed up because the people supply the materials that end up being on our kitchen table or in our life. Guess what? They're closed those plants because they have COVID. They're not. So it's a complicated world that people are facing. We've never faced anything like this before.
Okay, so the reason we don't have things, forget about all those ships that are sitting out there and the thousands and thousands of, you know, the train cars that are out there on aboard these ships, the cargoes, just forget about all that. The reason we don't have things on our shelves and we can't get the parts that we need for our vehicles is because people in these plants back there have COVID and they've had to shut those down. Isn't that amazing? That's how the President of the United States is addressing the supply chain problem. PGE Media is reporting NBC News reported Monday that the Pentagon is stepping up efforts to get family members of U.S. troops out of Afghanistan, creating a database of the dozens who are trapped there. NBC noted that on Thursday, Undersecretary of Defense and Policy Colin Kahl issued a memo asking any U.S. military personnel and DOD civilians with immediate family members who need help leaving Afghanistan to email his office. Remember, no Americans would be left behind. Now, friends, we're going to give you a little flashback here, a little bit of a flashback, because back some years ago, 2007, when Joe Biden was campaigning at that time, he talked about not leaving. He said it's going to take a year to withdraw from Iraq at that time. It takes a year to withdraw. But he says if we leave weapons and things behind, it would be 7 months. But then he said, if you leave things behind, they're going to be used against us. This is what he was saying when he was campaigning then. But this is the very thing he did as president, getting us out of Afghanistan. Listen to what he said back in 2007 as it pertains to withdrawing from Iraq.
How we end this war. And it makes a big difference to tell the American people the truth about what our options are in ending this war. If tomorrow the order goes out from the I'm President of the United States. I issue an order. End the war today. Begin to withdraw all American troops. It will take a year to get the American troops out. Do you hear me now? That's the truth. It will take a year to get them physically out. Now, if you leave all the equipment behind, you might be able to do it in 7 months. And you leave those billions of dollars of weapons behind, I promise they're going to be used against your grandchild and mine someday.
Okay, that was then, this is now. Isn't that amazing? The Jerusalem Post is reporting that China has the world's largest navy and the third largest air force. The largest maritime force on Earth, boasting a total of 355 vessels, the U.S. Defense Department revealed in a recent report that was just released, I believe that was last week, Wednesday. China's Navy, known as the People's Liberation Army Navy, has 355 ships and subs with an estimated 145 major surface combatants. The Navy is also writing its ability to carry out long-range precision strikes against land targets and enhance its anti-sub warfare, further strengthening their global power projection capabilities. In addition to that, their largest Navy, they have the world's largest standing army and the third largest air force, and that's in addition to their noted nuclear capabilities. And what is the USA doing? The USA has just named a ship after Harvey Milk, a homosexual icon that was long accused of molesting boys. That's what our military is doing. And we wonder why we have issues going on here in the United States. How can we say God bless America? Look what we are doing. Pro-family leader Tony Perkins is calling on the GOP chairwoman to resign. This is Tony Perkins said the head of the Republican Party needs to resign over her new Pride Coalition, the new group that's launched by Ronna McDaniel at former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago Club is supposed to reach out to homosexual Republicans because they enriched the party with unique perspectives, she says. Conservatives in Log Cabin, a homosexual Republican group, don't just share our vision for a free and secure and prosperous America. They enrich it by adding unique perspectives to our party and recruiting even more diverse candidates and supporters to join our cause, said McDaniel, the niece of moderate Republican Senator Mitt Romney. I think it's time for her to take up something else and leave the party to those who I think can chart a path forward, restore what's been lost, and make sure that the Republicans, the conservatives, regain the majority, both in Congress and continue to see victories in states across the nation, Perkins said. I think she needs to step down. She's outlived her purpose at the RNC. He said if the Republicans get this wrong, they become a Democrat-light party, and I think they begin to lose immensely. Because Republicans disproportionately get their support from social conservatives, they have to be mindful of that, and they have to continue to advance a values platform that's consistent with the traditional values that made America great. By the way, keep in mind that a new survey that came out, a study about the growing influence of millennials, revealing a majority of them now have a positive opinion about Jesus Christ, the report, but now they are also a whopping 30% of millennials are identifying as being LGBTQ. We wonder what the indoctrination is doing in the schools. It's having a huge impact, is it not? Let me just mention one other issue. I've got so many issues here, but I'd like to make mention of the Rittenhouse trial that's been going on in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Tucker Carlson called this the most bizarre court proceeding ever. Prosecutors claim it was murder. Rittenhouse says it was self-defense. Carlson noted that the prosecution's witnesses have been making the case for the defense. He said that would include even Gage Grosskreutz. He's the avowed communist, Tucker said, who Rittenhouse shot in the arm. Grosskreutz was supposed to be the prosecution's star witness at the trial, but once he got on the stand, he admitted that Kyle Rittenhouse only shot him after he pointed a loaded gun in the boy's face. Under questioning, Grosskreutz admitted that his firearm was pointed at Rittenhouse and that once it was aimed there, that's when Rittenhouse fires. Carlson said the prosecution star witness agreed self-defense is exactly what happened there. Prosecution witnesses also confirmed that one of the men who died had said out loud that he had intended to kill Kyle Rittenhouse. And the other day, I mean, the judge, Bruce Schroeder, had rebuked the assistant DA, Thomas Binger, on Wednesday in a fiery conclusion as Kyle Rittenhouse took the stand in his own defense. And just wanted to hear how the judge lashed out in this particular case. Just truly was amazing. And here is the clip.
Why would you think that made it okay for you without any advance notice to bring this matter before the jury?
This is a judge.
You are already, I was astonished when you began your examination by commenting on the defendant's post-arrest silence. That's basic law. It's been basic law in this country for 40 years, 50 years. I have no idea why you would do something like that. And it gives, I'll leave it at that. So I don't know what you're up to.
Interesting. As fireworks breaking out at the trial, we understand the defense has rested, closing arguments to take place, and then the instructions to the jury to take place. Many of the nation watching the trial here of Kyle Rittenhouse. LifeNews.com, Joe Biden's administration just gave $5 million taxpayer dollars to a UN program that provides deadly abortion drugs and devices to women around the world. The U.S. Department of State announced the new funding Monday for the United Nations Population Fund. Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman praised the program for empowering women and girls, included by promoting sexual and reproductive health and rights. Also, it works with abortion groups to distribute non-essential life-destroying abortion drugs and devices to vulnerable women and girls. And very interesting indeed. I had a story that came, yes, from Usama Dakdak, alerting us to it's from American Greatness. The Biden administration currently withholding $130 million in security and counterterrorism assistance to the Egyptian government unless 16 unnamed prisoners, among whom may be included anti-Semitic jihadist cleric, are released from Egyptian prisons. That was a reveal in a recent floor speech by Senator Ted Cruz. Cruz is very exercised at this, and rightly so, that the Biden administration is pushing Egypt to free Muslim Brotherhood associates and hedging our support, $130 million in security and counterterrorism assistance to the Egyptian government. Friends, I'm going to open our phone lines. If you have a comment, we'll use our last segment here. Make your comments as brief and to the point as you can. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Your response to these issues today, or maybe you've got a current event story that I've not mentioned that you'd like to bring up, 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, it has come to the attention of some secular and conservative talk show hosts that Rick Warren is praising NIH employee Francis Collins. Francis reportedly now is going to be leaving the NIH. And according to news reports, he's been tied back to funding of the Communist Chinese Party lab, Wuhan, where the virus pandemic started. What's very interesting is that now these conservative and some religious talk show hosts are very concerned that America's pastor, as he's been called, Rick Warren, has been promoting and praising someone like Francis Collins. Well, as many of you know, I've been warning about Rick Warren since the 2000s, early 2000s. Wrote about him in my book, Grave Influence, in 2009. My book in 2011, Religious Trojan Horse, 15, The Coming Religious Reich, and Marxianity in 2018. We warned you that this America's pastor was a wolf in sheep's clothing.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We're going to go right to your phone lines. Our number here, 800-733-9829. John in South Milwaukee, you're on the air.
I wanted to thank you for the program that you ran on Monday with the people affected by the shot or by the jab.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. I watched, I think it was like 3 hours or something, and I watched most of it. I wrote to Senator Johnson to thank him. But people on our side are totally out of the discussion and mocked at and criticized, and it just makes you wonder. And the sad part is most of the people that are around today get their news from social media or daytime TV. I'll shut up, and thank you for your program.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, John, for your call. Jim, in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I concur with that previous gentleman's statement about Ron Johnson. Thank you so much for playing that day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using a lot of that information to reach out and advocate for these people that are under these mandates.
Great.
But but the reason I called was about the Rittenhouse trial. And I've been thinking about this, and then something's come to my mind that I haven't heard nobody talk about. What was the reason that he even had to be there doing what he was doing? Is because leftist mayors and governors were not allowing law enforcement to do their job.
Yeah. Yeah, the governor sure fell down on that issue, and many were calling for the National Guard, but Governor Evers stopped that from taking place, we understand.
Yep. So then we have to take the matters in our own hands, help our fellow people, you know, neighbors out, protect their property. Nobody even talks about why he even had to be there.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim.
So. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. By the way, for those who have access to VCY America programming, that interview or that program that we did with Ron Johnson, that is scheduled to re-air tomorrow at 12 noon on the VCY America network. Mike in Mukwonago, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Say, I was just wondering if you could help me understand that shot mandate. I was wondering, did Biden actually sign an executive order?
Yeah, basically he's ordered OSHA to come out with the order so that, it's OSHA under Occupational Safety and Health that's enforcing it in businesses of more than 100 across the nation.
Oh, okay. Now, does that override the law that says drugs with emergency use authorization cannot be mandated?
You would think it would, and there are so many lawsuits trying to stop this from taking place. A federal judge has put this on hold right now, certainly the EAU, or EUA, I should say, should supersede that, but
right.
to this point, that's not been an issue.
Okay, thank you for the clarification, Jim.
Thank you for the call. Our number is 800-733-9829. Leroy in Atlanta, Georgia, you're on the air.
Hey, I wanted to add to the story you brought forth about the athletes.
Yeah.
Near you in Minnesota, a few months ago, the NFL fired a offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings because he wouldn't take the jab.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fast forward to today, it's come out that one of the Minnesota Vikings players had to be taken to the hospital, and several others have also contracted COVID. But the one that went to the hospital, of course, was because of the vaccine.
Wow.
How do you like that, NFL?
Yeah. Wow, that's a turn of events, isn't it? Thank you, Leroy. Again, our number, 800-733-9829. Elaine in the Black Canyon City, Arizona, you're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to comment about God in all this. It doesn't seem to be too many people out there saying that what we need to do is what God told us to do for this nation, and that is to turn from our wicked ways and repent and get right with God, and then he will hear our cries.
Yeah.
And so if people would just do that every day, just say, Lord, we repent of our sins. We want you in our lives. We need God to change this. He is the only one who can change what's going on.
Amen. Amen. And thank you.
People need to know that. And if they would just get on their knees, no matter what's going on in Washington, D.C., God can change it. God can stop it.
Amen.
He can take people's lives to get them out of the way for his people. And he will do that as he did in the Red Sea moment. He can do that today.
Amen. Thank you, Elaine. Appreciate your call here from Arizona. We're going to go to a fellow Arizonan in Green Valley. This is Tom calling. Tom, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to comment, if no one else has, on this topic. We live in Green Valley here. I'm approximately 35 miles from the border, the Mexican border. And almost every day, when I'm on the expressway northbound on I-19, we see these like prisoner buses. They're all gray with the windows shaded out dark so you can't see in, and no writing on the side of the buses. These are the migrants, the illegal aliens coming up from Mexico, and I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that. And from what I understand from some of the guys I was chit-chatting with who are in CBP, they take them to a processing center here around Tucson, and they get them fingerprinted and whatnot, and I doubt if they even check them for COVID. Oh, and that reminds me, when they say they check them for COVID at the border, all they're really doing is giving them the temperature gun to the forehead, and that's really nothing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's my comment, if no one else has discussed that before. Thank you, and keep up the great work. God bless.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate your listening there out of the Tucson area. And certainly, we are seeing these things happen, and there are flights that are going out by nighttime and dropping individuals into cities all across this nation. And this is one of the issues that we just heard from the state of Florida. Tragically, such an individual just murdered somebody in the state, is allegedly murdered an individual that came across illegally, lied about their age as being an unaccompanied minor, but in their early 20s. Found out, they fooled or, you know, gave the line that they needed to give in order to get into the country. And so there are many that are exposing this that is going on, but there are many locations across the country that are all of a sudden receiving such individuals that have entered this country illegally and being dropped in by the Biden administration. Troubling times, friends. But as a caller earlier had pointed out for us as well, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. God bless you, folks. Thank you so much for listening today. By the way, it's Friday. The Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.